Welcome to our podcast, Call of Duty. And as I begin this conversation, the words that ring in my ears are, ask not what the country did for you, but ask what you did for your country. And who better than a living legend to tell us more about this? So today we have with us Captain Shubhajit Majumdar. Captain, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Nandita. It is my pleasure to be here and to share my story with you all in Call of Duty.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, yes, I have read about you, but would love to know that you were born in Kolkata and raised in Kanpur. So, how was your childhood like?
I was born in Calcutta in a Bengali family, but my parents were both in bank. It was more of a transferable job. But they decided to move to Kanpur. I had just maybe initial 6 months to 1 year in Kolkata. Post that, I had my formative years, schooling, all there in Kanpur. And I think it was in Kanpur when I actually got motivated to join the forces. I was good in sports. I used to be very good in field games, I'll say. Football, hockey, athletics, played state level, played nationals and Coco even. So I remember those days. But yeah, I think over there, there are a few things which actually helped me build my schooling days, tending towards, a life in service, life in uniform.
Okay. So anything in particular that happened during your schooling days that you can think of that inspired you that yes, forces is the way ahead?
I think few things. One was a very Bollywood reason. I think you can have a laugh on it. One being border movie. I now see at times and at times cringe on how it has been made. But that time it just had my complete cognizance on how big the sacrifice has been and why it's so important, the small aspects which it had covered. And then there is Major General Ajay Seth. He just recently retired. He used to be my uncle, like father's friend. And that time when I was growing, I seen him as a captain, as a major, and he used to stand out in the crowd, how the army shapes you, defines your mannerisms, your demeanor and everything. And I was greatly influenced by that. And lastly was the Kargil War, 1999. And so my batch, I joined NDA in 2000. So my batch was the complementary to the Kargil watch. Our intake was very high. Mm-hmm. And that was, I'd say, the trigger where I went and filled the form for NDA and then gave the written and informed the family that, I have done that. So
wow, a family of bankers. And I believe you are the first generation army officer. How did you convince your family that you could join the army?
It was a bit of a factor. But yeah, I am the first generation in army. And I'll say forces. None of the military or paramilitary forces that way. And my mother especially wanted to pursue engineering. I had appeared for IIT pre that time, and that was the year it had started. I could clear that. But before I went for mains, I had my SSB and then decided to not sit for the mains. It was a bit of a persuasion which was needed, but I don't think my parents have always given me that open hand, like to go for things which I have decided, and that I'll always be very thankful for they giving me that space.
Wow, so I'm sure it was not easy. But you managed to convince them and move ahead. So how was the journey once you started appearing for your NDA and then SSB form,
yeah,
right? In that order. So this was post your grade 12th, I believe.
For SSB, I had almost very less clue on what is to be expected. And now being from a non-military background, so I had bought in a book for SSB preparation. And I was also preparing my 10+2. I used to complete my studies till 12:31, whatever time I used to finish my studies, regular studies in the night, I used to give 1 hour going through that book. And what was asked for, how to prepare physical and all that. my last exam was on 27th of March, chemistry exam, I still remember. And 3rd April was my SSB date in Banaras. I had filled up for Air Force that time. I couldn't clear the pilot aptitude test.
Okay.
So I was actually recommended for Army. And, but, you know, with a group of 75 aspirants, I was of 7 which got recommended and 2 for Army, 5 for Air Force. That day, I still feel as I was being walked in the final confirmation. It was like as if I had won the world and it was some dream come true with so less preparation, but commitment and conviction that I wanted to be in the forces. So that was something I still feel as one of the really awesome day which I have in my memory etched in there.
Wow, that was great sharing. I'm sure it would have been the ultimate news that would have got at that time. That apart, so how did the journey begin from there and how were your days during training?
Yeah, I think nowadays you have so much of YouTube videos and I think there is a lot of social media which can actually give you at least an idea of what to expect in the academy life. We were going with a blank slate. At least I was going with a blank slate. But one thing which stood for me and our commandant's lecture first, he did mention that, you know, fear is the most important ingredient of human psychology. And over here, we'll instill so much courage in you that every day you'll face your fears and you'll come to learn to overcome that. And that I could find in every aspect of training which was there. From swimming to horse riding to weapon training to every training aspect, they used to make you face the fear first of all. Just think of it, I was a dead sinker and went to the swimming pool, Olympic size pool, 25 by 50. And our instructor, bifurcates or breaks us up into people who know swimming and who are dead sinkers. And the dead sinkers are taken to the deep end, which is at 20 feet depth. And the swimmers are asked to practice in the shallow end, which is 5 feet. And then for the first class, 2-hour class, all of us, the dead sinkers, were asked to jump multiple times in the deep pool. And then we'll be either pulled out by the life boards or with the poles or something. And by the end of that 2-hour session, we were asked to jump. But the instructor said, wait, are you afraid of water now? No, nahi sab, aap toh khich ke nikal loge anyways. So the thing was that we had to befriend our fear first of all, and that was the basic ingredient of our training. And that was the difference. We were never forced into something without understanding the nuances of that aspect of training. And that stayed with me. Also, the other aspect was I was a sportsman. I used to feel that, you know, running and this all will never bother me. I was a sprinter during my school days and in so 100, 200, 4x100, long jump, triple jump. I used to get the best athlete medal and I was very happy there. But once I went to NDA, distances lost their significance. It was all mental then. The lowest distance which I ran there, the entire 3 years was 2.4 kilometers. And after that, it just went all along. It has happened that lot many times we have been running and talking to each other. Okay, did you get your girlfriend's letter? And or how's this happening? And we are in a motion of, you know, running cross country.
Wow, you put the topic about addressing fear so beautifully, Captain. I think what you spoke about nuances is something that we look for even in our day-to-day trainings for any civilian.
Very true.
So I think, of course, the forces have their way of doing things. And clearly it has shown results. So any other instance or anything that you remember from those days that you would want to share? Anything hilarious per se?
So yeah, I think I'll talk of one instance. That time my friend, I'll say girlfriend itself, and she was my classmate, now my wife. And so she used to write letters. And there's a unique aspect of, you know, cadets to get the letters from the seniors. They will really make you do a lot of tasks. We'll do push-ups, pumping, and to get that one letter. And or you have to get them juice or something from the goal market, or you know, parathas or something. And her name is Shikha. She used to write every week. And there was a point in time where I had to say, ki, reduce the frequency. There have been 2 letters, 3 letters a week. And I used to be very infrequent with my replies. But for the hardships which I had to go through to fetch the letter was something I had to ask her, please, to reduce that way.
I'm sure you guys would be having a good laugh thinking about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so clearly a lot of funny and memorable incidents during your training and academy days. So how was life after getting commissioned in the army?
Yeah, I think academy days are something which will always stay with all of my course mates, and even if they become generals, brigadiers, everybody for that, those days will be ingrained in our memories. But yeah, so post that, in IMA, I got commissioned into the Regiment of Artillery. I got commissioned to 314 Medium Regiment. But yeah, I think the experience was similar to how, you know, you join a new office in new location or a new team that way. But the difference of, I think, the warmth, the welcoming, and, you know, the inclusive aspect of when you join a regiment there is totally unparalleled. The way you get welcome is obviously where you will be. Either your identity card will be displaced or something will happen. There will be an aspect where you will be shown as not worth to be in this regiment. And the entire phase will end with a very positive binding or bonding, you can say, with the complete officer and ladies group. Then my YOS course was slated for, I think, in next 3 months. So luckily, I had the entire unit moving to Mahajan firing ranges for a practice camp. So I had gone to that practice camp, and it was one of the unfortunate MT accident during a night firing exercise. So I happened to have incurred a spinal cord injury. So I have been paraplegic since then. It was 2004 September when this happened. And post that, I didn't go to serve with my own regiment. It was always then went for rehabilitation, like surgery rehabilitation. And then my postings were somewhere where I always had to be closer to a medical establishment. So I was there in Pune for a couple of years after that. First in MH Kirki and then Pune. Then from there, I was in Delhi. My last posting was in 261 RT Brigade. And from there, I actually was invalidated out of the army on the medical reasons. But yeah, for those 5 years, I know it had not been a regular service experience. But whatever flavor I could get, it really has kept me very grounded, very much with the aspect for the uniform, like what we trained for, we are actually going to be doing that as commissioned officers. And leading men with different scenarios, situations, and as well as facing crisis and situations and finding ways and means of coming out of it. Life made me open to those challenges in uniform in those 5 years.
So, coming back to the tragic accident that took place, post that, how did, you said you were under rehabilitation and then in different postings. So how did the army support you at that time?
So this accident happened in Mahajan firing ranges, deep into Rajasthan. I was taken to Bikaner. From there, within a day, was heli-picked to Delhi in RNR. There I had my surgery. For 2 weeks I was there. And then again, heli-picked to Pune, where the rehabilitation happened. I don't see any other organization who can so swiftly mobilize me with different needs and to different places where they are, like, they are the super specialist on those aspects. It's not all about the financial aspect of it. It is the aspect of being part of the organization and you still being valued and helping you rehabilitate to either life in uniform or life out of uniform. But You know, your life doesn't stop. It still moves ahead. And this rehabilitation, this entire medical care and the support helps you to actually find a path for yourself rather than you getting completely, you know, held in this roadblock. So AAMI really helped that. It got me ready with the rehabilitation to understand that the 80% of my body is not in my, I'm just in below paralyzed. So how to manage a life with that aspect. And both, you know, trainings of activities of daily living, we call that, how to manage those and how to learn, you know, various skills while being on chair. And so I always give in the talk, I say I was born twice. The one when I was born and second when I met with an accident. Because we learn to do everything, but do it differently.
So AAMI has been your second mother.
Yeah, you can say.
In the true sense of the term.
Yeah, you can say that.
And you've drawn such an amazing parallel between the corporate life and AAMI and how beautifully AAMI in general treats its men. And you completed by saying about how they helped you rehabilitate, not just to serve in the AAMI, but also live otherwise. I think that amount of a genuine interest vested in that one soldier is something, or in that one employee, if I say, in drawing a parallel to corporates, is something of a different league that nobody can even think of. So today you have really given us food for thought.
With this food for thought, let's pause here, Captain. And you listeners, aren't you curious to know what happened next in Captain Shubhajit Mazumdar's life? If yes, tune in again tomorrow to listen to the second part of this interesting conversation with Captain Shubhajit Mazumdar. Keep listening.